We like to hear from you, and lots of you getting in touch. And I want you to keep doing that. Keep getting in touch with us and tell us your thoughts about the show. But also, if you've got a question that you'd like to put to our panel. Now, if we don't know the answer, we will endeavour to find the answer for you. We'll see how we get on with this one. Andrea Scott is on the line from Stoke-on-Trent. Andrea, thanks for getting in touch with us.
Oh, right. Thank you. Yeah, that's fine.
So you've got in touch with us to ask a question of our panel here, and it all relates to scanning documents, to sort of reading documents mainly.
Yes, that's it. I need to find something that I can use that's accessible, because I've got an iPhone and I've tried Prismo and I can't get on with that very well at all. It's very hit and miss. So I wondered if there was any apps that could be recommended that are better, or even a separate device away from the iPhone that would help me.
Okay. Can we just ask a bit about you, and Andrea, if that's okay? Just ask about, you know, your sight condition. Are you completely blind yourself?
Yes, completely. I lost my sight 6 years ago, nearly, and I've got Leber's optic neuropathy, which a lot of people haven't heard of, but it's actually a genetic condition which affects your DNA and it attacks your eyes, which unfortunately takes your sight away.
Right, okay. So you're still getting used to it all, I guess.
Yeah. Well, you have to just get used to it, don't you? But yeah. But I'm doing pretty well, and I've actually applied for a guide dog as well. I've come to that decision, so I'm going through that process at the moment as well.
Oh, so am I. I'm going through exactly the same thing, and it's quite a nerve-wracking experience, isn't it?
Yeah, I've got somebody coming to see me again next week, but when I started just over 12 months ago, I couldn't even find my way to the bottom of the path, and now I can actually do quite a few routes on my own, so I've got to the stage now where I'm ready for a trainer's assessment, so we'll see how that goes.
Well, that's good. Yeah, the key thing, of course, with all of this is just to try and keep spirits up. But it's not easy, is it? And, you know, we talk about technology here and how it can help.
No.
But technology is really good, but it sometimes can help and can hinder, can't it?
Yes, it can. But I have to say, I don't know what I would do. I know you're an Apple fan, but I really do not know what I would do without my iPhone. I use it for so many things, you know, diary, emails, you know, absolutely everything. So I'd be devastated if I lost it.
Yeah. I think we'd all be in the same boat. I don't know what I would do without it. So how did you find Tech Talk then? How did you find our show?
Oh, how did I find... Well, I've been listening now. It must be about 12 months or so. And I found it by accident, really. I was on the RNAB website, I think. And I was looking at various things. And I found Connect Radio. And then I started listening to just various things. I always listen to the Tech Talk, I have to say. A lot of the other things, you know, I don't always listen to. I download most of the podcasts, but I do skip quite a few. But I always listen to the Tech Talk because I really like that, and that's what I'm interested in.
That suits us fine. We're happy with that. We are more than happy with that. Well, we hope we can answer your question here all about reading. Of course, it is a major issue. You know, how do you actually read something? And it can be anything. I mean, you know, it could be letters that you're getting through the post. It could be leaflets. I mean, we've just gone through the EU referendum. You know, there were a million leaflets dropping through my door that I just couldn't read. Some of them I didn't want to read, in fairness, but I don't know what it is.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I think, I don't know if it's Adelian, but you see, I've got an 11-year-old son who very often brings, like, newsletters and things home from school, and I can't read them.
Yeah.
So, and if there's nobody here to help me, and, you know, an 11-year-old being an 11-year-old, he doesn't always want to read them to me.
But that's the thing, you don't really want that, do you? You want to do all this yourself. The technology's out there, it's just how do you do it?
Yeah, please, yeah. So if you can help, that would be brilliant.
Right, let's put the question to our panel then.
Okay, well, there are various things that you can use, Andrea. I don't want to steal Sean's thunder, but he's got something interesting in the newsy bits. But one of the apps that you can buy is KNFB Reader, and it's very good at reading. It's designed for blind and visually impaired people. So I have that on my phone, and a lot of blind people do. I have no sight either, so I find it's really useful for, you know, reading talking book titles, because my husband gets them as well, so we like to know whose talking books they are, and we get them to read those, and we often use it for mail and for sort of products. You could take a snap of something in the kitchen if it's a tin. It's a little bit more awkward for cylindrical items, but yeah, KNFB Reader is you know, a really good app, and has been designed for us to use, so you can always find the button to take a picture. Away from the phone, then you're going to be looking at more money for a standalone scanner. Now, it could be a camera scanner. We've got the ReadEasy Move, which we've talked about on this program before. It's fantastic, and I think it's absolutely brilliant, to be honest, as a standalone unit. Then we have things like software on the PC with flatbed scanners like K1000, and we've also talked about that. And there's also a product by Hims called the Blaze ET. Now, this is a sort of an all-in-one media player, music player, but it also has a camera on board, and you can take pictures of your documents with that as well and save them. So it's quite a good device. It's around £525. That would be probably your next cheapest option away from one of the apps. So there are options out there, and if you need more information, then by all means, you can contact me directly if you wish. You can get my email from Stephen, and I'd be quite happy to talk through the options with you. But there has been a lot of discussion on this program about OCR, so hopefully you'll find some back issues as a podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and Jackie, just on that ReadEasy Move that you mentioned earlier, we did talk about it on the show recently. Just for Andrea, though, and anyone else who might have missed that, can you give us a bit of an overview as to what that is?
Yeah, it's a standalone scanner. It's a very small sort of device, about the size of maybe a nice standalone portable radio. On the top, it has an arm, and it has a camera on the end of the arm. And then what you do is you put your document under the camera on the mat that's provided. It's a very sort of nice area that you can put your documents on, or your tin or your product, whatever it is. Packaging is really good for that. And then you press a button on top of the scanner, and the voice, it's the Daniel voice, and it will read it out to you. You can speed the voice up, and you can change the voice from male to female. So there are lots of sort of variations on it as well. And, you know, it's really good. It's £1,500, though, and it is made by VisionAid in Lincolnshire.
That's going to be out of people's range, yeah. A lot of people's range, isn't it?
You know, yeah, this is the problem. Once you move away from phone apps, then, as I say, the next one up is the Blaze ET from Hims, which is sold by Sight and Sound Technology, and is available for £525. And then you go up in price after that to standalone scanners. So it depends on your budget, really. It depends how much you're going to be using it. We find the ReadEasy Move brilliant, because we keep it downstairs. Our computers are upstairs. We keep the ReadEasy Move downstairs, and it's really useful for mail coming, anything coming through the door, like leaflets, as you mentioned. You can take it into the kitchen. It is mains only, our one is. I think there might be a battery version of it out now, but ours is mains only, so we can just take it through to the kitchen if we're going to be doing a lot of stuff out there. But it is really useful, but it depends again on how much you want to spend.
Well, I mean, you've got Andrea's 11-year-old coming home with a letter from school that, you know, let's be honest, we've all done it. We've brought the letter home from school and maybe not wanted our mum and dad to read it.
It's in the school bag, and it lays in there for a week, crumpled up with PE kits and gym shoes.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, I've been there, worn that T-shirt. My darling son used to do the very same, but I had a good arrangement with his school, and it's something maybe a sighted or a blind parent might want to think about of a child, is to ask the school to email you anything that they're going to be sending home.
That's
it's not always feasible for them to do that, but I must admit Ian's school was very good at emailing me stuff, and if it was sort of a quick message that had to come out that was sort of sudden, then they would ring me and say, I'm sending Ian home with a note, but all it's saying is blah blah blah, and that's, we got around it that way. So we found that really quite helpful. So a little bit of interaction with the school perhaps, and asking them if they could do that, and actually it's it is a legal obligation, I have to say, because
that's interesting.
Yeah, it's an adjustment that they should be making.
Well, that's very good advice, actually, for Andrea.
Yeah, I've got to say, I find that most schools today are set up for... I was always getting text messages from one of the schools, you know, saying something or something was happening, or emails. So the systems are in place. I think, like Jackie said, just got to get that communication going and say, I would prefer any messages, you know, email or text message. And usually it's not a big problem for that. So, yeah, that's a really good idea.
It definitely shouldn't be in this day and age. I mean, my son was at school, what, sort of 10 years ago now. So, you know, things have got even better of late. So, you know, just speak to the school and just ask the head teacher and say, excuse me, please, could I have any notes that are sent home with my child? Can you email them to me, or could you give me a call, or can you text me? And you know, just let me know. I mean, there's loads of ways now. There's no excuse whatsoever why the school couldn't do that.
Can I just say about the Prodigy that I've got, the Prodigy Duo, which is something I've got from Humanware. It's a CCTV now. I know, Andrea, you've got no sight at all, but actually with this machine you don't need to have sight, because it will, as well as actually display the document, it will read it as well. So it has its own inbuilt OCR. I'll be honest, it's not perfect. It has its moments, but then I think that's the case with all OCR.
Yeah. Look, don't be fooled by that. You could spend, you know, you could really go to the very top of the range, and it still wouldn't be word perfect. It depends
on the text, doesn't it? It depends. Yeah. I mean, I noticed during I made the comment about during the EU referendum with Andrea there. You know, we get so many leaflets through, and some of them I did want to read, some of them I didn't, but some of them I did, and I'd put them under the scanner, and it would absolutely get it bang on. Because it's printed text and it's built to be read clearly. But, you know, you get a letter through that's handwritten, it's probably not going to get it, or at least not all of it.
No, not at all. Usually.
What about you, Sean?
No, if you've got handwriting on a sheet of paper that's got text on it, unfortunately it can screw up the text, because it's trying to decipher the handwriting, and it gets all muddled up. So... it's better if people try not to. If the school are going to send you something, it's better that they actually send it in just print rather than scribble all over it as well.
Well, that's what I wanted to say as well. When it comes to OCR, to me, it seems like most of the OCR engines are at sort of the same level by now as well. It's all about getting the good image in there.
Yeah.
So when it comes to something like Prismo, for example, I mean, the OCR engine in Prismo probably isn't that much worse than in anything else, KNFB reader, or even in the standalone hardware. But it's all about getting a good, clean picture of what you're trying to read. Prismo, I did have a few problems with. KNFB reader is supposed to be the best one out there.
It's not perfect, but it is better. I think what I like about KNFB reader, Sean, is that it has defined, quite well defined buttons that you can actually double tap, if you know what I mean.
Exactly.
I think Prismo's quite fiddly in that regard.
And plus the, you know, move back more, move forward, and actually trying to get the paper in frame is well done on
that's,
KNFB.
That's the key thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
because
it is, you
need to get, as you say, you need to get the image right. And, you know, a lot of these apps, I mean, if you just use, as I do, and I know this is not useful to Andrea, but, you know, for partially sighted people like myself, what I sometimes do is to read something, I'll take a picture of it, I'll sort of line it up and I'll get a picture, and then I'll just zoom in and just do it that way. That's fine if you can see to do that and you can judge what it is. But, you know, I've been at many situations in my life where I've seen, especially recently, where I've seen blind people try to take pictures of each other, just a picture of another person, and trying to get the camera in the right place
is very difficult, you know. So you know, and that's
tiny movements.
That's someone talking to them. A letter's not going to speak back, you know. So you know, how do you achieve it? So
also with a mobile phone app as well, a good thing to get hold of is some sort of stand.
Yeah.
I mean, it all comes down to how much money you want to spend. It's so much easier to use one of those, like you've got, Jackie, the specific hardware. It's already set up. You just flip up the arm and you press a button and it does it. Yeah. With a mobile phone, you've got to start up the app. You've got to set it up. If you're going to use a stand, it makes it much easier to take a good image. But again, you've got to play around a little bit. It's not so easy, not so accessible.
There is a giraffe reader stand for the iPhone, which can be bought for £35, I believe. It's a sort of a cardboard, quite a stiff type of cardboard. It folds flat and it can be erected. I haven't seen this, but this is what I'm told. And it's made by somebody who just developed this idea, wanted something for their iPhone, and now has the stands for sale and sold by Computer Room Services, I believe. So if you want to contact Steve Nutt, give him a shout, because he's the guy that can supply them.